We shall turn now to the book of Psalms, and we come this evening to the Psalm 87. The book of Psalms, and we shall read Psalm 87. A psalm or song for the sons of Korah. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. As well the singers as the players and instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. And may God add his blessing again to this short reading of his holy word. We come this evening to the Psalm 87, which is, as you will see, a psalm or a song, and it is a psalm or a song of celebration. It is a psalm that should give joy to those who are engaged in singing it, and those who understand its meaning and its significance. And you will see, just looking at it briefly, that the thing that's been celebrated is the Lord's love for the gates of Zion. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion. That's what's being celebrated, the love that God has for his people, for his church. He loveth the gates of Zion. You will know, as you've heard me recently say, that in ancient times, cities were walled and they had various gates of entrance. And we said, of course, in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, that the various gates, a number of them are mentioned, that were repaired. The fish gate, the sheep gate, the dung gate. And all these gates, the particular gates, had a significance. They were all ways of entering into the city. And the Lord, we're told, loves the gates of Zion. And he loves them with an everlasting love. And you will see that he loves them in a peculiar way in the Psalm 78. If we went back to it just for a moment, there we read in verse 68, but he chose, that is God, he chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. The Mount Zion, and as I said recently, it means the place of numbering or the place of marking. The Lord hath chosen Mount Zion, which he loved. This is his own choice that he sets his love upon. Now he loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob, and yet there is a relationship between Zion and Jacob. He loves Jacob. We're told that very clearly. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And God set his love, his covenant love, upon Jacob. And here we're told of the dwellings of Jacob. God loves the dwellings. He loves the families. He loves the households and the worship that's conducted within those households, within those dwellings. God is aware of his people wherever they are. He recognizes when they worship him in spirit and in truth. There might not be very much different or majestic or attractive about the actual material dwellings of Jacob or his children. They mightn't be any more attractive, and yet God loves them because his people are there. And yet, this is what we're told, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. And the significance of this is that the gates of Zion were open for the people when they were coming, as they were required to do when they came to Jerusalem to present themselves before God. You see at the very end of the psalm a scene depicted for us which gives us an idea of the scene. As well the singers as the players and instruments shall be there. And the ideas of a procession advancing toward Zion. And this is what happened, the great preparation for, say, the Passover, when the children of Israel, the Hebrews, were coming from various parts of the empire, and they were all converging, and they were coming toward Zion, and the city came into sight, and they were, as you have it in the Psalm 100, they were praising God when their feet was within the gates of Zion. Verse 4 of Psalm 100, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And there would be great preparation and readiness for these crowds approaching to enter into the gates of Zion. And the Lord loves the gates of Zion because he loves to see his people coming to worship him. He loves the gates of Zion because his people enter through them to worship him, to adore him, to praise him. But we're told that he loves the gates of Zion more. He loves the dwellings of Jacob, but he loves it when his people assemble together to worship him. Yes, they worship him in their dwellings, and God recognizes that, and he promises covenant blessings to the families and the homes where this is the case. But he loves the gates of Zion. He loves his people to be coming collectively, to be assembling together, to be coming through the gates of Zion to the place appointed for the public worship of God. And sometimes in our day and generation, people don't appreciate that. They think that if they manage to maintain worship in their homes and their families, well, God should be grateful for that. And they don't seem to appreciate that God delights in the assembling together of his people in his own appointed place. This was God. He had chosen Zion with its gates because he loved Zion. And it wasn't that he loved material walls and buildings. He loved his people in that city. He loved them when they came through the gates with the intent and with the purpose of worshiping him. So this psalm is a psalm of celebration, celebrating what God himself loves. And if we love God, we love what he loves. If there is a spiritual love in our hearts, and it is spiritual and it is not a mere carnal, worldly love, then we love what God loves. And if he loves the gates of Zion, We love the gates of Zion. And if he loves the to see his people assembling together for his worship, so do we. But then, it is a celebration of the glorious things that are spoken of Zion. Verse 3, glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. And those things are so glorious that the psalmist pauses. We have Selah. Think about it. Meditate upon it. Consider it. The glorious things that are spoken of thee, O city of God. You go through the scriptures and you look at what's said about many of the cities, great cities. It wasn't glorious things that were spoken of them. When Joshua went into the promised land, there was no great thing spoken about Jericho. It was the very opposite. There was no great thing spoken about these cities that were walled according to the spies who brought an evil report. They were walled to heaven. It seemed they were impenetrable. But there was no glorious thing spoken of them. It were things of condemnation. Babylon, the mighty Babylon. What do we read? Babylon is fallen. Is fallen. No great thing spoken about the mighty Babylon. But glorious things are spoken of the city of God. Why are they glorious? First of all, because of who speaks. These glorious things are spoken by God. And therefore they're perfectly reliable. And when God speaks these glorious things, we can expect them. We can look by faith for them. We can trust God, whatever he promises, that's what he's going to do. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Now we could go from Genesis right through the scriptures, and particularly, I suppose, through the Psalms themselves, and see many of the glorious things that are spoken of Zion, the city of God. One of the things that we note is the encouragement that these things that are spoken of Zion ought to give to the people of God. When we, that psalm we were singing from, Psalm 102, look at what we read in verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon thy Zion. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon thy Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. The set time set by God, because he loves the gates of Zion. He has chosen Zion, the Mount Zion, because he loved it. And you were told that the time to favor her is appointed by God. There's a set time. And the prophecy of Isaiah, when the people of God were lamenting and felt they were deserted, and the Lord had forgotten them because of their afflictions and because of their trials. Well, the Lord has forsaken us. But what did the Lord say? No, I have graven thee upon the very palms of my hands. Thy walls are ever before me. A mother might forget her sucking child, yet I will never forget thee. And though the Lord may afflict his Zion and his people, yet he has a set time. And you see this when the children of Judah are carried off into Babylon. Daniel was able to discover through the writings of Jeremiah, there's a set time. We may be 70 years lamenting and hanging our harps upon the willows, but there's a set time, and God has set it. And our affliction can't go beyond that time. Our captivity has limits upon it because God sets the times. And he has set the time for reviving his own Zion. Verse 14, for thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. When Ezra went back and Nehemiah to Jerusalem, it wasn't very encouraging looking. Stones and rubble. But the set time had come. And how did we know the set time had come? Thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. No matter how low and how desolate things are, those who are the true people of God, they love even the dust and the stones, whatever's left as it were, still dear to them. And there they were, the captives in Babylon, and what were they saying? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its cunning, and so on. And the people of God, it's because they love what God loves, they can't forget the Zion that God loves. And even if it seems it's as low as that, as low as that, stones and dust and rubble, they still love the Lord Zion. You can see in verse 17 of this Psalm 102, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come. And the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary, and so on. And verse 21, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. And you see, when we appreciate how much God loves his Zion, it should be a tremendous incentive to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem and to be waiting with expectation for the promised time to come. We read from the prophecy of Joel, and you'll see in that chapter 2 there are various mentions of Zion, what God intends for Zion. Verse 1 of the chapter, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Again in verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion. God is taken up with his Zion and he's giving orders for the benefit of Zion because of what he intends and what he has purposed. Again in verse 23, be glad then ye children of Zion and rejoice in your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. What a mighty promise this is. Rejoice, even though things look barren. You see what God can do? He can send the former and the latter rain that ordinarily, according to the annual routine of the year, the cycle of the year, they come at different seasons for a different reason. But God says, I'll put all these blessings together. I will give such an abundance of blessing. And then in verse 25, God says, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten and the cankerworm and the caterpillar and so on. God is promising great things. They're spoken of Zion. Glorious things are spoken of Zion, the city of God. And when we come down to verse 28, we're coming now to the very portion that Peter on the day of Pentecost told those who were thinking they're drunk because they're speaking so many languages. This is peculiar. What did Peter say? This is the fulfillment of what was spoken by the prophet Joel in this very chapter that we're reading. What does Joel say? Verse 28, it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and so on. And that was fulfilled, Peter said, in the events on Pentecost. What's it all about? Verse 32, it shall come to pass that whosoever, and this is what Peter was quoting at Pentecost, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, or as Peter put it, shall be saved. And in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Glorious things are spoken of Zion. And we might be waiting for the fulfillment of some of those glorious things. And we might be thinking, will they really happen? Will God really do them? Well, we have the encouragement to see that some of the glorious things that are spoken of Zion have been fulfilled for the encouragement of God's people. What is Peter telling the men of Israel, his brethren? These are some of the glorious things that were spoken of the Lord Zion. But then look back to the Psalm again, and we see there in the Psalm 87, going back to it, what happens. God is saying through the psalmist to you and to me and to the church even today, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said. This is one of the glorious things. It shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. It is most interesting to see, for example, in the Psalm 125, that there the righteous godly man is likened unto Mount Zion for security. And you see in Psalm 125, verse 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Cannot be removed. We were singing from Psalm 2. The heathen rage, the people imagine vain things. They would like to dethrone Zion's king. They would like to break the rules of Zion. They would like to destroy God's holy city, the city of God. But here's what is glorious. They that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. Come what may, God in the midst of her doth dwell, nothing shall her remove. And we might live in dark times and be wondering what is to become of the Lord's poor cause in a day of small things and so on. Here's one of the glorious things that are spoken of the Lord Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. So this is not merely a city, a material city that might be demolished by superior powers that might encamp against it and come against it, but the Lord is saying glorious things. My Zion, my people, cannot be destroyed. And because this is the keys, God preserves his church and he upholds his people. And here are those mentioned in Psalm 87 that are the natural enemies. Historically, they've been at enmity with Zion. And again would have sought its destruction. Rahab and Babylon, to them that know me, behold Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this man was born in her. What is the psalmist talking about? The great expansion of the Lord's cause, the set times that God sets. Because he sets them, they're secure, they're established, they're firm. And what are we seeing? The expansion that even those who would normally seek the destruction of the Lord Zion, they would send their armies against the Lord Zion, but they become friends. And they beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And they set down their arms and they become the friends of Zion. And they are becoming citizens of Zion. And what do we read? The Highest himself shall establish her. The Highest himself shall establish her. And because he does it, there is this glorious expectation of expansion and prosperity. And what do we read? Verse 6. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. What does that suggest? Glorious things are spoken because Zion is to be a place of life. This man was born there. And if we're talking about the spiritual Zion, we're talking about spiritual birth. The work of God, if in fact we go over to the passage that we were in Sabbath morning past, in the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 8, just to remind ourselves of the things that the Lord said, the things, thus saith the Lord of hosts, repeatedly down through that chapter. And remind ourselves of what the Lord said was going to happen. Verse 4, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand, for very age, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. What is that symbolizing? What's that declaring? Life. A city of life. God, because as we said on Sabbath, he said, I am returned. And because I am returned, there's life, there's quickening, there's births. Children are born in Zion. We don't see much of that in our day. And I believe that's because the Lord has largely departed and left us to ourselves. But when he returns, you know it. Because he comes with quickening power and there's life. And as we said later on in the chapter, people begin to pray as they've never prayed before. And they take hold out of all languages of him who is a Jew, 10 to 1, and so on. These are the glorious things that are spoken of Zion that we need to take hold of. We need them fixed in our minds and in our hearts. We need to believe them. And we need to believe God. What an insult it is if we don't believe God. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion. That's why it's worth coming to a prayer meeting. That's why it's worth assembling at the means of grace, Sabbath by Sabbath, because the Lord loves the assemblies of his people. And yet, according to what Paul writes to the Corinthians, he hath not chosen many mighty or the great or the influential of this world, but he hath chosen the weak things to confound the mighty. He hath even chosen the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are. And the Lord loves the gates of Zion because he hath chosen Zion. He loves even his poor people. They may be afflicted, they may be tried, they may be sorely tempted and tried, but this is what we have. God himself has spoken glorious things, verse 5, of Zion it shall be said. It's as though there's more to come. Whatever God has already said is glorious. But of Zion it shall be said, this man was born in her. And sometimes the Lord's servants are toiling and laboring. And they think, well, there's nobody been born here. There are not many converts. There's hardly even conviction of sin. But of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And that's because of the glorious things God has spoken. And it's he who is the very source and fountain of life that brings life. But out of the Zion, the Lord's Zion, salvation, according to various Psalms, salvation comes out of Zion, and that's because the glorious Son of God himself came to Zion. And how blessed it was in reality, in actual reality. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was going through the gates of Zion, the Lord loved the gates of Zion because of his own Son who came to Zion. And it was he who brought life to Zion. It's because of him there were born in Zion. You think of the apostles on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were baptized and added unto the little remnant of believers. Who would have believed it? A change took place under one sermon. And many a time, the servants of God are preaching sermon upon sermon upon sermon and wondering, like Isaiah, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? But when God comes, all it needs is one sermon. When he comes in power, that's all's needed. One sermon. Peter preached one sermon. And what a difference it makes. This is how it was, the Kirk of Shotts and many another place. Whenever God comes, he brings life. And these are the glorious things that God has spoken of his Zion. And we should be grateful as we're gathered here and a prayer meeting this evening, we're actually part of it. However insignificant we might feel ourselves to be part of it is something to be grateful for. This should encourage us, and we should take these words and meditate upon them and not be discouraged and not be downcast. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Can that be said of the great institutions of the world? Can that be said of the mighty powers that dominate the world that we live in? No, but this is said, and God said it, glorious things are spoken of thee. And may we rejoice in that. And may God bless these remarks to us.